Thirst World Problems is all about drinking better, but drinking responsible. So make sure that when you guys are pouring your drinks, you're always doing it in a responsible manner and there's no drinking and driving going on. So one of the ways that we address this is we always try to help you guys come up with a nice new cocktail that you don't have to drink a lot of, but you're definitely going to enjoy. So one of the cocktails that we're going to be drinking this week is a Whitney and Whiskey. So it's got some pink lemonade vodka in there. It's got some whiskey in there, and it's perfectly composed for the summertime. So if you want to get the recipe, it's going to be up on our social media, as well as you can find a video on YouTube and our website. Make sure you go to thirstworldproblems.ca so you can see how to make one of these. So we're going to give you some time right now. This is where you're going to pause it, make your drink, and then come join the conversation on Thirst World Problems. Pour the drinks and start the theme song.
Welcome to the Thirst World Problems Podcast, where we talk about drinks, current events, music, and more. Now, here's your host, Nick Dugal, and his panel of experts, B, Bell, and the infamous Doc.
This is Bell coming at you from behind the mic on Thirst World Problems. I got B and Nick coming in via satellite.
And hey, man, why do you gotta say it like that, coming in? So uncalled for.
Joining us, there you go, man. Get your bite out of the gutter. Holy. So the very first thing we're going to do here is we're going to help our friends and our listeners out here and answer one of their Thirst World Problems. Going to help you guys out and help you guys start to drink a little bit better. So one question coming in, and this is probably closer to Nick, your wheelhouse here. One of these listeners wants to start drinking more scotch, doesn't really care for it, but all his friends are into scotch, so he wants to give it a fair try. So where should he start?
Well, I think you can, the best thing to do is just get, if you're going to buy scotch, you can't buy anything cheap. Get a nice Glenfiddich, honestly, enjoy it. The best thing to do is, I think when I started drinking it, I realized it was really bad, but what I did was I kind of diluted it, and then I started drinking that way, because then you enjoy it a little bit better, and then I started diluting it less and less and less. Then you'll enjoy it. Then you can appreciate the the older it gets, and sipping it is key. So if you're young and you just want to throw them back, that stuff's not for you. But if you just want to, you know, really have one and, you know, just enjoy it for the evening, that's the best way to do it.
So when you're saying that you were diluting it, were you using just water, ice, and letting it melt? Just, or
let the ice do the work, really. That's the best way to do it.
Nice. One thing that I've heard is, and something that I'm starting to try now is, because, yeah, I'm not a scotch guy at all, but I have...
Rumor has it.
some friends that enjoy it a lot. You can also try like a gateway cocktail. So there's a few cocktails that incorporate scotch in them, like a Godfather or a Rusty Nail, and just ease off the mix. Like for
a Rusty Nail, man.
Well, for example,
I'd like to try that.
For a Godfather, you have 2 ounces of scotch, and then you've got a quarter ounce of amaretto. So you can start to just whittle it back from that and give it to it. For me, I like
that'll
the sweet.
Do you in though, man? That's like a trip.
Honestly, amaretto and scotch go pretty good, but you want to enjoy it for what it is, right? It's like having a steak, and then you have all this sauce on it. You're not enjoying what the steak is, right? So you gotta start from bare bones if you want to start mixing
all this cool sauce on there.
Yeah,
you gotta. I was like, people just want like ketchup on their steak, yeah, like barbecue,
dude,
sauce.
I don't know how people put ketchup or crazy amounts of barbecue sauce. Like, what's the point?
You might as well ranch,
right? Yeah, you might as well just go have a pork chop then.
Well, there's. Well, there you have it. So
you might as well just go have a pork chop and save your money.
So the advice coming out of Thirst World Problems is, if you're new to scotch, start slow, dilute it with some ice. Personally, if you got a sweet tooth, try the Godfather and then come back from that.
And I think the real lesson in here is, if you haven't tried anything, give it a fucking chance, Bell.
Yes. No, honestly, realistically, I think a lot of people, when they try new things, they just go, no, I can't have it. You can't just It's like you starting to play basketball. You're not gonna, you play it once and then you're just gonna go, nope, it's not for me. No, you just gotta keep on playing until you feel like, you know, you get the hang of it.
Fair enough.
And then you can start crossing suckers over.
Fair enough. So now that we've helped help you guys out and helped you drink a little bit better, I know Nick's got a little something on his mind here.
Before I start, shout out to the Thirstologist, man. That page, phenomenal. I give it big props. It's getting bigger and bigger. Getting requests. If you guys want any requests from the Thirstologist, let us know. We'll post it up. We'll make it happen. But moving forward here. So in Winnipeg, there was a big petition with my name on it that we want to remove a statue. Now, I have a lot of, including obviously Bell's included in that, I have a lot of Black friends, you know, friends of multicultured. And I think what's happening now in the world is they're removing everything that has to do with, you know, discrimination towards Black people in general. So even if it comes to, you know, looking at Aunt Jemima, that's, it's just syrup, but people are like, no, we got to get rid of it. Cool. If that's what it takes, I'm all for it. If some people think it's getting too far, but realistically, everything, there's always history with this. And I've been watching what a lot of people, like, I've been, like, so far I think we've hit 1,500. And
you're talking about on the petition? 1,500 signatures?
For the petition, yeah, okay. Signings. 1,500 people have signed it so far. So
that's pretty impressive, man.
From what I've seen, I've read what a lot of people have to say, negative and positive. And I've put together a few things. So here it is. I feel like I don't care what people say, but this is what I think. Now, some people are basically saying, well, he's done more good than bad. Now, we can say that about everyone else, but the fact that he wasn't a fan of Africans, he wasn't a fan of Sikhs, which Bog and myself, he wasn't a fan of just people that were dark. And it just seems like not everyone is who you think they are. And the fact that, you know, growing up, look at all of us. We watched The Cosby Show. And Cosby was like untouchable, but the fact that you heard all these stories and this is what happened and it blew up. Now look at
it. Good point.
Now everyone's saying, well, for us, it's like, it's hard to believe. And I understand with these, a lot of people, it's for them, it's hard to believe because one, they probably live by his quotes. They go by everything. And the fact that you're hearing all these things now, you're just being in denial. You're just not accepting it.
Well, just getting onto that and that point of, yes, he did a lot more good things than he did bad. Then that may or may not be true. But the point is, you don't have to celebrate someone just because they did a bunch of good things. Like, yeah, you might not want to discredit him completely, but he doesn't need to have a statue if he did all this other bad stuff, right?
I honestly think having a statue is just the most ridiculous thing. That I get it. This is what it was back in the day. That was something to monument and put it in history because it's going to be hard to remove. But the fact that this guy has a statue, you know, at the Forks for no reason, and, you know, people are getting upset. Oh, you know, like from what I've seen, a lot of people are just upset that they think, oh, this is such a hatred thing. I'm anti-Indian. This is just like they're trying to find things just to say, well, he's not one of us. No, I'm not one of you. These are the people that are not understanding what the main story is here, what the main reason. It's Black Lives Matter. Now people are going, well, I support the Black community. No, you don't. For a fact, you don't. Because if all these people are getting rid of statues all over the world, why is it in Winnipeg that it's still here? And the fact that you can say, oh, yeah, I support them. No, you don't. You can honestly say that. If you support it, then you would sign that petition. You would make your choice and use your power to get rid of that statue. But some people have so much pride where they're willing to lose in order to, you know, fight to the end, which is stupid. And I think in the end, this is the whole thing when it comes to elderly people, to millennials and younger. For us, you know, us three here, we want to change what's going on in the world, right? We want to move forward. But the elder generation, they don't like change. Oh, now all of a sudden we're getting rid of it. Look at Confederate flags.
Yeah, those things great
are
point.
Those things are getting gone. And people are like, well, I've been born with this flag. I've been doing this with this flag. Dude, it's just a flag. I don't care what anyone says. It's just a flag that has been horrific. But the fact that people like, and another perfect example is look what's happening with the US and this mask situation. I know I uploaded on Thirst World as a joke, but there's people saying it's my right. I don't have to wear a mask. I don't have to wear a mask. If I get it, I get it. And some people are saying like, I can't breathe. Well, if I put this mask on, then I can't breathe. How am I supposed to do that? What mask are you wearing? Like, you know, it's just the fact that people are not understanding what's happening. It boggles my mind.
It's a lot easier for people to, like you mentioned earlier, it's a lot easier for people to be an ally and agree with something in principle. It's when it starts hitting home and understanding that, yeah, for you, the Confederate flag or the Gandhi statue might mean this or might this, but it's also a huge trigger for a whole other section of people. And for the betterment of society, especially in that term, why are we honoring the bad along with the good that this person
That's
did?
That's right. And Bell, just to add to you, when people are saying all lives matter, it starts with Black Lives Matter first. Because clearly, if people they don't get the same treatment as other people, then all lives don't matter right now. It's basically like, that's the whole point of this whole situation of what's happening. Black Lives Matter. And then people are going, no, all lives matter. Cool.
All lives matter is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It's a dumb way of saying, well, I'm just trying to be in the middle. I don't want to step over anyone's shoes. No, we all need to understand that there's a serious situation going on, that the world, the world is being exposed right now. A lot of people are being exposed with just, again, lack of education, lack of understanding. They don't know what it's like to be.
They don't know how to think critically, man. Right? They hear one thing and that's it. You could tell them fact from fiction. You could tell them science. You could tell them anything. Yeah, there's no changing their mind, right?
I'm really wondering.
Yeah, and the biggest thing with this, it's again, a lot of people are saying, well, he does it like he's doing a few things wrong. What about all the things he does right? And even quotes from, you know, presidents to Nelson Mandela. They don't know all these things, man. The book literally just got released a few years ago regarding his hatred towards Black people, Africans in general. And a lot of people can't accept that. They can't accept it because growing up and look at the history books that are going to be happening now. All this history is going to be cool. There's a reason why it's called history, right? All that stuff is literally all that stuff is going to be wiped out. We're in a new phase. Just like everyone says, there's a new normal. We're literally doing clean sheet right now. We're wiping all the stuff that people are celebrating. Columbus, you name it, man.
Well, everyone's
getting wiped out, man.
Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson.
It's the age-old thing, right? Like, you know, like, say you became a doctor in, like, the 60s or 70s, and you're still practicing now, right? There's that kind of thing, like, you know, say you were rich back in the day. Well, how do we know that, like, you didn't just get pushed through the school? Or, you know what I mean? Like, now, but now... Like back then, think about it, man. Like you could do whatever you wanted. A rich family could pay a kid through. And if there was enough money, you're telling me they're not getting that degree back then when no one could figure out. But now you go back into the records or someone tries to do that now, immediately you're done, man. Like it's not even between the school and the student, it's all of the backlash, right? So there's so much stuff coming up now that people used to get away with, because that Gandhi thing, like, sure, there are some, you know, things that he's done, and I'm not, and I don't know everything about Gandhi, but, you know, there's the things that he didn't get any backlash because people didn't know about it, right? And only the good shined, because that's
exactly,
that's where stuff used to focus back then. Mm-hmm. And now when all the bad stuff comes, I think it's a combination of, not only is it the bad stuff, it's also that he's been looked at as such an icon by not just Indians, but, you know, white people, Caucasians, all, everyone. And I think just in essence, you know, them being, oh no, he was doing this and that. I feel like other communities just can't admit that, man, because if they admit that, then they're offending 50% that think Gandhi's good. You know what I mean? And then they look racist, right? That's why it's this weird, dynamic going on, right?
Well, you're going to see a whole bunch more change, especially in terms of American history. So we're talking about Confederate flags, and we're talking about how, I guess, the emancipation came about. And a lot of the big names that you thought were 100%, like, you know, white knights and shining armor there, you're going to see a big change, especially in regards to guys like Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson. There's a lot of stuff coming out now.
Oh, slave owners.
Oh.
But this is the thing, is like, the thing that you kind of have to consider, and I didn't at first. I was like, well, no, they were slave owners. They were, at the same time, that's what was normal. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's this double, it's not even double-edged. It's like 99% wrong and 1% no one knew any better. So I don't know how those guys are going to be perceived, but I think the perception of these guys that, you know, push to keep it going through all these years, like, you know, the South, when they were fighting against the States, I think those are the guys that truly believe should have the worst blame, and they shouldn't have a statue anywhere, you know, on the world, in the world, anywhere, man, like, besides the United States, right? Like,
one thing I want to say is, I think in the end, the biggest thing is, can you swallow your pride that you've been pushing for all these years and realize reality, right? Yeah. Because again, you and me will never know what it's like to be as a black person. We'll never know, right? Bell, you know the story, you know it all, right? So again, whatever it takes, I'm always there to help anyone out when it comes to this situation, but we'll never know. Nobody will ever know unless you are black. Nobody will ever know. We'll never know. Yeah, we do. You and me obviously do get, you know, discrimination, but at the same time, this is worse than what it is, right? So I think a lot of people are kind of holding on to what they've grew up with in their pride and can't face what reality is. And I think that's the biggest thing. So one thing I really, really am so impressed is actually with NASCAR. NASCAR, 100%, they, like, the situation, they handled this situation so well. Whatever has been happening, cool, get rid of the Confederate flag, right? And, you know, Black Lives Matter for them. They've been all about it because everyone knows, oh, okay, NASCAR, it's just a Southern thing. Everyone
NASCAR, yeah, NASCAR really impressed. They honestly impressed me, man. I didn't think it'd be that swift of a turnaround. Like, the NFL took 4 years to do that, right? And
no,
NFL, and they're a majority. Yeah, and they're a majority. They're a majority black sport. Like, if there weren't black athletes in the NFL, no one would turn the TV on, right? Let's be honest. Like, those are the best athletes on TV.
Look at this. Like, within the week, NASCAR did so much, right? With Bubba Wallace, and even though they say FBI said it wasn't, it's been there for a while. I don't understand that, but it's been there for a while. The news, and, you know, they got rid of the flags and they're just, you know, phasing everyone out. But the NFL, man, like, the fact that they can't even say, hey, Kaepernick, I'm sorry. Things would be so much better for them if they just, like, hey, we made a mistake. now we understand. Because the main players are saying, hey, we didn't understand this. We now I understand. Drew Brees, he at first he was saying ridiculous stuff, but now he's now he's admitting, hey man, like I understand now. Like I'm being educated about this. So
I know we gotta wrap this up real quick, but Nick, I just wanted to ask you if the to do a plug for the petition, but as well, the names on the petition, are you noticing that it's older people that are more giving you pushback? Is it younger people, or is it just across the board, or is there hope for our next generation, like our young B here?
Our next generation is so strong because we are looking at the doors wide open. We're looking that window wide open, and a lot of people are, you know, educating themselves. It's not just what we learned in textbooks, and
the information's huge.
The information is so huge and out there. Now a lot of people are going to go, well, you can Google anything and everything's going to be, it's either going to be fake and you can treat it as real. What's real and what's not, but these are actual documents. And I'm proud of, you know, our young Indian community. That is our future, and they understand what is going to happen going forward. So, big props to everyone. You know, I got asked a lot. Hey, can you just create this petition? I don't care if my name's on it. Cool. Are you signing it? Your name's gonna be on it anyways. It just says created by me. I don't really care. If it gets done, cool. I'm going to be first row watching that thing get towed somewhere else. So all good.
Breaking news. Cam Newton has signed to B's favorite team, the Patriots. Here. No, I thought the Patriots were your favorite team.
It's your favorite team, Billy's bandwagon fuck.
Cam Newton is there. We're going to win this year, boys. Yeah, like Patriots haven't won in a long time. So Cam Newton on the Patriots. What do you think about that? Big deal, little deal?
It would be a big deal if they had some talent around him. The Patriots, that's what happened to Tom Brady, right? I actually think Cam Newton's going to have an amazing season. But I think it's going to be capped, man. Like, I think they'll win a lot of games. I think, you know, they could go 9-7, something like that. 10-6 possibly if things get good. But I think they will have a good season. I think they can squeeze into the playoffs, but I don't think they can win just because, you know, the only guy on the team is Julian Edelman to throw the ball to, right? Like, what else are they going to do? So I do like the dual threat, though. I want to see that in Bill Belichick's system. We've never seen that before. I think it's going to be exciting. People's eyes are going to be peeled to watch the Patriots anytime they're on. I know I'm going to be, so I'm excited for it, man. And Cam's one of my favorite players, so.
Well, there you go. So he signed what they call an incentive-laden deal. So it just means tons of incentives really is what's going to push him over the top as far as his salary goes. So his base salary is probably pretty low. And I think Mac, well, he can earn himself up to 7.5. So 7.5.
I think it's a minimum. It's a minimum deal, right?
Yeah, it's a one-year. Yeah, 1 year is going to be super minimum. And then
to prove it. It's a prove-it deal, Bell. That's why you got to draft him, because he's, man, it's here or nothing, right? He was in line for 30 mil a year of one of the highest contracts. And, you know, we see this all the time here, you know, one of the best quarterbacks. This guy was, he's the MVP in 2015, man, just 4 years removed, right? So I think a prove it year is going to do well for him, because I think it kind of hit him hard that, hey, no one's even taking a second look at me. And, you know, for the Patriots to do it, I think it improves the stock a lot. So how about you, Nick? Any thoughts on that?
I'm done with it, but I'll give you my insight on the contract. The contract was right. The reason being is because the situation he had in Carolina, I think he needed to prove himself. I think this is the perfect way. Instead of signing somebody just for the sake of signing somebody for the name, you got to do some incentives. And I think that's the perfect way to do it. Prove yourself what's your worth. Because next year, if he's killing it, he's proved his worth, right?
And he's 31, surely, right? So you know, even the Patriots would sign him, right?
Yeah, he's won MVP, but what did he really do after that once he won MVP? A lot of these guys, I think the issue is once you get on top, it's hard to stay on top, right? And so I think he needs to climb back up and prove everyone. And who knows, man? He might be a Patriot for a very, very long time, right? So we'll see what happens. It's an exciting time for NFL fans, just because, you know, even as a team, like your pride and joy player leaves, And usually, I haven't seen it lately, but usually your team will end up just becoming trash. And I think the Patriots did okay just to, you know, clean up the aftermath, I think. And, you know, a lot of teams can't do that. And
what shoes to fill, though, eh?
Big shoes.
The shoes of the best quarterback has ever touched a ball.
But you can say that with everyone. Even if, let's say, what's his name? Let's say Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers became a Patriot. That's big shoes to fill, even though they're high caliber players.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those are the biggest shoes.
It really doesn't matter who's there. Those are huge, huge shoes to fill.
That's a good point.
And plus the city of Boston. And plus the city of Boston, man, always demands. Especially with the Patriots throughout the years growing up, right? I guess what early, I'm going to say 98, late 90s, that's when the Patriots start taking off, right? So, you know, throughout the years, I didn't even know the Patriots existed, man, until 99, man. So think about that, man. For over 20 years, man, these guys have been killing it. So the city of Boston doesn't really know what it's like to have a team that's on the playoffs.
So this is going to be very interesting to see how things work out with Cam. Because, I mean, for what the situation that he's in right now is partially COVID. He hasn't been able to actually go out and do his workouts. So he's been doing his workouts over social media. So I think that kind of put teams off a little bit. And the fact that he's coming back from injury. So like you guys saying, it's a prove it year. It's going to be big time for Cam here to be able to step up and learn this new system. And it'll be interesting to see, like, B, you kind of pointed out, now they have a mobile quarterback for the first time. You have Bill Belichick using this guy. But how willing is Cam going to be to take those runs that he's been doing in Carolina, and how effective is he going to be coming into this season? Because especially if you know that it's a one-year incentive deal, if you come back and you you throw the ball well without risking your body as much with those runs, then you're going to have another payday after this season. But if you go out there and you put your body on the line, like how it seems to be the only way Cam can really play, and you're risking 7.5, his future earnings is just down the drain compared to what he could be doing if he just comes out and focuses on this passing game. So it's going to be interesting to see how Belichick tries to incorporate those two aspects of his game and how willing Cam's going to be to embrace some of the other side of it. I mean, this is what we're starting to see with the whole COVID situation with the NBA opening up. There's some players who are on their last deals, especially what's the kid out in Washington, the shooter there, who doesn't want to, or who's opted out from going to...
Bertans.
Yeah, who opted out because he's like, yeah, anything could happen and my next deal is going to be a big deal. So you're going to start to see some athletes coming out of this whole COVID situation, starting to take, I guess, their future careers a little more serious than they have been in the past.
Hey, and it's okay because the more people that don't want to play, the better chance the Raptors are going to get to the finals again.
The thing I love about Cam signing with the Patriots is if he gets that starting job, and I mean, they still have that other there that Belichick was pretty high on.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that other guy.
But
man.
If he gets the starting job.
Come on.
Well, me either. Especially with Boston's history, the fact that they could have a black quarterback would be pretty entertaining for outsiders to be watching too. So
what do you mean?
Time for it, I guess. But you're talking about the Raptors winning.
Hold on. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
What do I mean by that? Well, Boston has a history for being one of the. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Has a history of being fairly racist in terms of players coming in and some of their own current players. Like there's a bunch of Red Sox that they just came out for the first time and kind of acknowledged the fact that, yeah, these things kind of were happening, but when they had players there before, like the whole like Black Lives Matter movement and stuff, and these guys had mentioned that, there was no statements ever released until afterwards. So they've come out and kind of confirmed some of the past stories that people have, like I guess in the leagues, have known, but no one else has really come out and said it as far as an organization until recently. So
Oh, that's, okay, gotcha. That's starting to get up. I guess everyone just forgot about Bill Russell. Eh? Okay, let's move on.
There's some stories that Bill Russell tells about that too, but and take a look at their makeups of a lot of their teams after Russell. Like,
dude, I'm telling you right now, the fact that Bill Russell got like 8 championships for him, I'm pretty sure those racists were probably like, you know what? I like this guy, man. He's winning us everything. So Bill Russell, I'm telling you, man, Bill Russell changed that city. I really think so. Bill Russell, David Ortiz, Paul, not really Paul Pierce, but David Ortiz, I think changed the city, man, a lot. Paul and Pierce. Not really Paul Pierce, but like,
that made me laugh for some reason, man. I don't know. I don't know why.
But no, like, there's
part of the big three as well.
But Boston has some historic players that will be there forever, man. That name will be, because I remember, because when I went to Celtics, I went to the Celtics versus Laker game, and David Ortiz was baseline, and everyone went nuts for him. People were going crazy, man. And, you know, and there were so many celebrities at that game. There was like Snoop Dogg there. There was Dana White. And Mayweather was there. Those guys weren't even getting...
Holy...
Yeah, those guys were not even getting anything. But David Ortiz got the biggest pop, man, because this guy's the hero, man, of that city. He's the one who broke the curse, right? He's the one who saved them so many World Series titles, man. It's crazy.
So what do you guys think about with the NBA going in this bubble, like, and all these cases coming up, like, I was watching Tobias Harris on a show. I don't know which show it was. But he was saying that, you know, he's been out and about to the grocery store grabbing stuff and whatnot. So what's your guys' stance on this? Because a lot of people are like, well, now that they're going to be in this bubble and they're traveling there, they're going to get the virus. And what if it stops everything? So when that 16 people out of the 310 or whatever came out, I thought that there was going to be a big pushback on, hey, we got to slow this down. Maybe it's too fast. Maybe we're in over our heads. But he, you know, had a different perspective. I think more so the interviewer than him, but he posed the question that, is it not safer in that bubble? Because you have all the amenities, right? Groceries, you know, you want to get your hair cut, entertainment, movies, family, you know, basketball, you get paid your full salary. So do you guys think it's actually better for these guys to be in there while this is going on and not out and about in places like Florida and California, where we know a majority of these guys are staying?
Well, there's definitely the benefit of in the bubble. And realistically, if you have an opportunity to be quarantined in one spot, and like you said, you have everything.
And with strict measures
there,
too, right?
That is what you want to do. Well, that's exactly what you want. Like, that's the ideal situation. The problem is how many of these guys are going to want to stay in it for the length of time that they have to be in it. And what are they saying? Like 3 months from start to finish, if you're one of the guys that makes it into or deep into the playoffs, like to the finals, 3 months of just being in this one spot, it'd be like being on a cruise boat for 3 months or at one resort for 3 months. Is that really what a lot of these guys, especially younger guys, are going to be able to do? And part of that is, I think they were saying that your family can't even come join you until maybe the, did it say second or third round? Like,
no, I think the family's good from the beginning, no?
No, not at the very start. So I think they're waiting until, I guess, they get down to... like after the seeding rounds, and then I think it's after the first round of the playoffs too. I guess just to accommodate everyone, right? So once I guess those extra people leave, can bring people in. So it's going to be interesting.
Listen, you're getting paid $30 million a year, and you're upset that you can't see your family for a month, guys. Like, listen to what you're saying right now. I'm not saying you, but the fact that with the facts that you're stating out, these guys are saying, well, no, I don't want to play because, you know, I can't see my family. I got
maybe for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, they're playing. You're playing 4 weeks and you're saying you can't do that. Like, come on, man. Anybody on this planet would be like, cool, I'll see you guys in 4 weeks. I'm going to go get my bag, man. these guys are like, no, I can't see my sister for 3 weeks. Oh my God. I can't do this. I can't do this. No.
And keep in mind, the majority of players are doing it, right? The majority of them. So
they also can't see their girlfriend.
Well, dude, perfect example. Look at Kyrie Irving, man. This guy is probably the dumbest person that I've ever heard in my life, man. He wants to make his own league. You want to make your own league?
I think he was coming from the right place.
Does he understand how things work? Does he understand how things work? How to make a league? He does it. He's like, yo, guys, Brooklyn Nets, you guys want to just make our own league? Yeah, we're under contract, but we're going to go play another league here. No, it doesn't work like that, buddy. Like, this guy should not be allowed to talk, period. Like, don't talk on behalf of anybody else. He's the dumbest person on this planet.
Well, like, I think he has a good idea in principle.
He's got a bad idea.
Me too.
He's got a bad idea.
The idea in principle is you always want to be running your own thing if you can, right? Like, you rather work or have people working for you as opposed to
Who does he work for?
Well, if he's ever healthy, he'd probably be working for the Nets.
Oh, these guys are throwing shots. Hey, that's one of my favorite players in the league, man.
He doesn't work for anybody. He plays for the Nets. It's not like someone's saying, hey, I need you to work overtime. Or, hey, I need you to do this. Hey, clean this up. He goes, plays basketball, does media, does a commercial. Peace. I'm going to go enjoy the rest.
Different type of job, but still a job, man. He's got to wake up early every day, get his workouts in.
When you get over 100 mil, yeah, you got to get up early and go practice.
My problem with Kyrie is the timing that he brought this up with, and the fact that if he really wanted to make his own league or work for like a black owner, he could have not signed. What did he just? Wasn't it 250? Isn't that what he just signed for?
Who?
Kyrie. What was his contract? Like,
It's like 155 or something.
Okay, my bad. Yeah, so like 155. Instead of signing that $150 million contract, you could have went and played in the big three, then play for Ice Cube, then and get your
money. No, he doesn't want to play for somebody else, man. He wants to have his own league. That's all he says. He wants to have his own league. So cool, man. On a better note, Under Armour just opted out of their deal with UCLA, which was like, I think like 250 mil or something like that. They want out. I think what's happening is the NCAA is deciding to, I guess, pay the students to play, but it's too late now, man. Everyone, all these guys, all these players, they're all going to go to the G League, because the G League, you're going to get paid and then all of a sudden you get drafted. So it just shows, hey, like, you know, we have these guys we can play, and they're going to be playing with the best players. That's not in the NBA yet, right? So great, great for the NBA. I think it's a great move because, again, a lot of other sports do it. Look at the NHL, right? Soccer does it. Baseball does it. NFL doesn't do it, which they should. I think the NFL should do it. They should go on that path too. Get guys who are not really – you know, coming back from injury or just in general, man, like have a secondary league, like a development league where you could see guys play and flourish and you just never know what you could do. Right. I think it's healthy. Cause a lot of these guys are going like, you know, this is it. If I screw up, I'm done. Then what do? You play in like America Arena League or whatever it is. But I think like having the G League, it's a great move. You gotta keep developing guys all the time. And if you're just signing guys that you don't know what they are really like in college, because guys in college can drop so many points. Look at Andrew Wiggins, man. He was crazy in Kansas. But in the NBA, he's been doing okay, right? He's not leading, but he's doing okay. So I think the G League is gonna show guys, hey, this is what I can really do. And we can draft these guys, and because that the fact that, you know, your scouting is going to be so much better.
Well, I think some of the bigger leagues like the NFL are fine with colleges handling the little pipeline for them, because that would be
an expensive endeavor to take over.
Dude, college football is one of the biggest, most like the format is just so stupid. Like, it's really dumb. Like, there's so many bowls. Like, why isn't there like just a huge tournament? Like how NCAA, like how basketball does it.
Because they wanted to keep generating money. So that's where all that came in, when that money came.
Exactly. And it's caught up to them now. Watch, man. Watch these guys. Like, soon you'll see NFL players.
They're done, man.
What's interesting that you mentioned about the UCLA and the Under Armour pulling out is now you're going to start to see, like, those big, like you're saying, those big corporations pull out and start to fund guys individually, right? So now that they can, they don't have to fund a whole college now to get at a guy.
Yeah. Like, now you can sponsor guys. Yeah. You can do it before they even get there now, right? So
yeah, just so you can go get a job at McDonald's when you're 15. I don't know why these guys haven't been able to get money for. Imagine how much money's been stolen, man, from them. You know what I mean? Like, billions, man. Hundreds of billions of dollars, man, probably.
Dude, think about a guy like, I'll give you a random guy. Think about a guy like Bobby Hurley back in the 90s. Think about that. This guy was probably the best point guard for Duke, best point guard in that league, back-to-back titles. This guy was amazing, man. So the fact that how much money he probably lost, and then the fact that he got drafted in the NBA, didn't do well, but like, he's still a college legend, man. Everyone always talks about this guy, or even Christian Laettner, college legend, man, for Duke, right? Grant Hill, those guys. Think about how much money they could have.
Crazy example to use.
Think about how much money these guys could have got, and the fact that they got nothing in the. Well, they probably got something, but. They had to.
Yeah, they probably got something, but not even close, right?
They had to hide it.
So I'm going to give you guys the Raptors schedule here that they've got coming up. And you tell me, this is for the seeding. So their first 8 games here. So they got the Lakers, then the Heat, then Orlando, then Boston, Memphis, then the Bucks, Philly, and Denver. How do you like that in terms of.
Can you rail that off one more time? Sorry.
Yeah. So you got the Lakers, the Heat, Orlando, Boston, Memphis, Milwaukee. So they got the Bucks, Philly, and Denver.
Man, that's they got couple. I wouldn't even say easy because you got the Magic and the Grizzlies, but those are teams that are, you know, they're trying to keep stay in the playoffs too, right? So. And then everyone else, you got the Bucks, the Nuggets, you got the Lakers. I think that's a pretty tough schedule, man, to get. Like, that's got to be pretty high up there in terms of the tougher schedules, no?
100%. There's two ways you can look at it. You can look at it as an unfair schedule at all. It's because you're playing all the top teams. Or you can look at it as, hey, this is a true test of where they actually stand when it comes to the playoffs. And how well they're doing right now, right? So, I think they can. I think they'll probably win 70% of it. But Bucks, Lakers will be tough.
Nuggets are a tough one, man.
Nuggets are tough. I don't think the Heat are going to be as good as people think they are. I don't know. Like the Heat are what, they're third or fourth right now. But dude, Jimmy Butler is the most overrated basketball player in the league, I think.
Well, for Denver,
for a guy who's getting paid so much, he hasn't proven anything.
Well,
besides play on like 4 teams.
Some people have called a Philly sleeper team here coming in.
I think Philly's done. They got too many alphas. Bigs,
they just paid Al Horford $105 million.
Yeah.
I just could not. Man, he's having the worst season of his career.
Yeah, but Al Horford's like a great player, though. Even though he's having a bad season,
he's one of my favorite players. But he's averaging 11 points a game.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Yeah.
Well, Tobias Harris too just came out. I think it was either yesterday.
That's the same player. You literally just have two of the same players there.
Well, he was saying that the chemistry on the team hasn't been working. Like, he just came out and said this in the media. Like, normally people keep that quiet, and he's just like, yeah. Hasn't been working, and but they but he's but he of course, the slant is they're starting to get things together, and he thinks that they'll have a good push come now. For Denver, though, is Jokic even cleared to play?
He's got, I don't think so.
Yeah, no, he's good.
Is he?
He's good. Well, he's not good to play, but like when you have the, when that virus comes in like that, they're going to keep testing him. And like, he should recover pretty fast, right? As long as he gives you a negative reading, I think he can play. There's no like, oh, you got to wait 2 months or like something weird like that. Right?
Well, that's how he lost all that weight, eh?
Yeah, maybe. Or I don't know. I don't think you can really contribute to that, honestly. But I think it's just happened at the same time, and now Bell is trying to discredit him.
Well, we got some basketball coming as long as the virus doesn't destroy.
I'm so happy, man! Please, just launch the league, man! Please.
You heard that. That's B's wish. Let's find out if it happens.
Thanks for listening to the Thirst World Problems podcast. For more exclusive content, follow us on Instagram @ThirstWorldPod. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share.